Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. I'll ask you what we were just discussing in the prior segment, Ross. We were going through some of these 3-0 teams. Take the Bills and Eagles out of it, but between the Niners, Chargers, Bucks, Colts, who's been the most impressive to you?
The Colts. Yeah, I would say the Colts. I got a chance to see them, a lot of them on Sunday, because I called that game Colts-Titans. You know, and I know the Dolphins and the Titans aren't very good, but, I mean, they beat both those teams by 25 points. Like, that is super, super hard to do in the NFL, as you guys know. I mean, think about how good the Chiefs have been in recent years. Not many times they've been blowing teams out like that. And, you know, think even like the Titans had the lead late in the third quarter in Denver against the Broncos, you know, against the Rams, two teams that made the playoffs last year. That game against the Colts was never close. I mean, that, you know, they were losing by two scores at least pretty much the whole game. So it just speaks to the Colts. Now, I don't think that they're great on defense. I think they're probably just okay. But offensively, man, I mean, their O-line's playing awesome. Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in football right now. You know, Tyler Warren is like a top five tight end. And I think because of that, it helps their other receivers, Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce. You know, those guys have always been good players, maybe not great players, but because of all the focus on Taylor and Warren, it's like those guys are getting even more attention. And, you know, I think Steichen's just so happy, their head coach, to have a quarterback that just runs the offense, that just knows what to do, runs the offense to the point where, you know, Daniel Jones is operating at a very, very high level right now.
Generally speaking about offenses, what do you think's going on there again in the league? Because, like, the Chiefs don't look good. They're missing a lot of their weapons, so maybe that's part of it. But, like, even your Philadelphia Eagles, that's not a fun offense to watch either. Yards per game are down. Is this just the defenses are caught up? We need to wait a month. It just seems like, in general, offense has not been that enjoyable around the NFL.
Well, you're 1,000% correct. Although, I will say, like, if you watch the Ravens-Lions on Monday night, those offenses are still pretty awesome. And there's other teams as well. But I think it's a couple things. You know, they finally figured out a couple years ago that you really are only going to get really shredded if you're giving up explosive plays. So almost everybody is playing, you know, some form of what they call shell coverage with two deep safeties or cover four or whatever, where they really are not going to let you get passes over 20 yards. It's going to be very difficult to do that. And so what you have to do is be super patient and move the ball down the field, you know, taking the underneath stuff. The problem with that is, I think especially the first month of the season, since these guys don't play in the preseason at all, they're going to make a mistake. You know, there's going to be a penalty, motion or illegal shift or a hold, or it really is hard to go 10 plus play drives which is what they're now forcing you to do. So they're forcing you to go the long way, which a lot of teams aren't capable of doing. And then even if you are and you get down there, a lot of times they're doing a better job of making you settle for field goals. And so it's hard. It's really hard.
We're talking to our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, here on 96.5 The Fan. What did you make of the Chiefs' performance? An ugly, ugly first half, obviously. And then that opening drive to start the second half, they kind of settled in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I thought of it was they finally at least got something going. And I think probably that maybe the best thing is that, you know, this Thornton guy looks like a real guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of just in the nick of time where they need him. And I don't know when Worthy's coming back, maybe this week or whatever. And we know there's still a few weeks before Rashee Rice, but very valuable that Thornton actually looks like a player for them because they desperately need that to open up the stuff for Kelce and Pacheco and those guys underneath a little bit more.
When you look at what the Chiefs are doing, like we asked a question to ourselves, do you think it's still fair to say, hey, let's make a judgment on the Chiefs offense until Worthy and Rice come back? Or are they looking struggling enough that that's a hard sentence to keep selling?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. I think it's a combination of what I said about the first month of the season. Although, interestingly, as you know, the Chiefs actually play their starters more than almost every other team these days, which is wild. You know, like, because you think about it, think of all teams, do the Chiefs really need to play in the preseason? It's the same guys in the same system this entire time, but yet they do. So you would think that they would be further ahead from that standpoint. But I do think every team, there's an ebb and flow with every team every season. You know, if you remember, the Eagles were 2-2 after week 4 last year and had lost to the Bucs by 3 scores. Well, guys, they haven't lost a game that Jalen Hurts has finished since then. I mean, it's 20 games. It's a full year. They have not lost the game that Hurts finished since then. They've only lost one period. It was the Commanders game where he got hurt in the first quarter. All of which is to say, the concussion, you know, the first month really means very, very little for how we feel about these teams at the end of the year. I really do think a lot of these times these teams are just trying to figure it out in the first month. And then, you know, what you start to see the progress months 2, 3, and 4. I think that'll naturally be the case with the Chiefs. And then obviously getting Worthy and Price should have a big impact on it.
You mentioned the Ravens a minute or so ago, and obviously that offense has been great. Despite a 1-2 start, the Chiefs are also 1-2, but it feels like the way everybody talks about the Chiefs is so much different than the Ravens. You know, why do you think that is? Is it because everybody loves offense and points? Like the Ravens' defense, of course, has been a problem. The Chiefs' offense has been a problem, but their defenses look good. Why do you feel like people discuss the Ravens as if everything's going to be all right, but with the Chiefs, there's way more concern?
That's a great question. I do think it's because they see the Ravens still scoring 30 points in those losses and having, you know, unfortunate, let's call them Derrick Henry fumbles. But it's like the Chiefs don't get credit for how well their defense has played for whatever reason. I think the Ravens are better than the Chiefs. I think the Ravens are a really, really good team. But you are what your record says you are. You know, I don't care about like the yards per play stats and all these metrics. The Ravens are always so great in all these metrics, and then they lose the games they need to win.
Right. Yeah.
Which is ultimately all that matters. Like, is anybody taking the Ravens over the Chiefs in a playoff game? I don't think so. I don't think anybody's taking the Ravens over the Bills in a playoff game. I don't have a great explanation for it because I feel like they have the talent and the personnel and the coaching and all that to do it, but they don't. They have some real issues on defense right now in Baltimore. They have too many good players to be this bad on defense. And so I don't know if they make a coaching change or what happens, but they got to figure that out.
The biggest storyline that came out not involving the Chiefs out of that game was that Jackson Dart is going to make his debut for the New York Giants. Are you surprised they made the shift this early, or is it just after Russell Wilson put three into the seats, they didn't really have much of a choice there at the end of the game?
Well, I guess they had a choice. You know, it's funny because the way I look at it is it's really just the head coach and the GM trying to figure out the best way to save their job.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I think initially it was, hey, we should have a pretty good defense. If Russell Wilson plays like he did in Pittsburgh, maybe we can go 500, right? And if that doesn't go well, then we could put Jackson Dart in. I think they wanted to try to give the Russell Wilson thing as much of a chance as they could, because I think they know with Jackson Dart, they're probably not going to be 500. You know, they're probably not going to make the playoffs or have a great record. The Jackson Dart thing would be more like, hey, we're showing a lot of momentum with this rookie quarterback. You don't want to mess with this. You know, we got a good thing going. I think they probably thought maybe they had a better chance to have that momentum, like if it was a 6 or 8 week thing, as opposed to a 14 week thing. You know, 14 week thing, it could be like he gets off to a good start, but then teams figure him out a little bit. In the last few weeks of the season, he looks like crap and they still get fired.
I guess for me, Ross, this is part of the issue, like, that I don't like when people are like, oh, you know football better than the people running teams, because this is maybe the fifth quarterback in the last 2 or 3 years that has been handled the exact same way. And I think it's the worst way to handle a quarterback, which is we keep lame duck head coach. We let him screw with young quarterback. We then in year 2 or 3, give him new offensive coordinator, new head coach, new system, force him into relearning it again, and then hope this time it's better. I don't understand why this is a trend in the NFL. Why are they allowing these coaches to screw with the young quarterbacks?
Yeah, well, I think you got to take it on a case-by-case basis. I would agree with you with the Giants. I thought that was a really poor decision. That they also, by the way, didn't know when and where they would draft a quarterback, right? You know, it's the other teams that have the higher picks that's more interesting, like the Titans at number one. But I don't know. I mean, you hire Brian Callahan, and his quarterback last year was Will Levis. I don't think anybody actually thinks that Levis is a good quarterback. So then the point would be, well, let's give Cam Ward a chance. You know, let's give this guy a chance with a legit quarterback, and that quarterback is Cam Ward. And, you know, Callahan was there with Burrow in Cincinnati and blah, blah, blah. And maybe they will turn it around. But that's the logic, I think, with a coach like Callahan or a situation like Tennessee. I don't understand the Giants' decision. I never did.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy some football this weekend. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. See you guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.